Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. And for the last 2 weeks, we've been offering proof that one does not have to be baptized in order to be saved. In our last two studies, we focused on 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, where Peter spoke of baptism as being a picture of salvation, which some have tried to use as proof for baptismal regeneration, or that baptism is that which regenerates the individual or washes away their sins. Today we're going to look at direct statements from other portions of the New Testament which clearly prove that baptism is not necessary for salvation. We will primarily be looking at Paul's message about baptism and then baptism in the book of Acts. So first let's look at Paul and the way he uses the term baptism. The word baptize is used 80 times in the New Testament, and Paul uses it 16 times in his writings. And I want to give you a breakdown as to the 16 different references that Paul uses when he communicates on the subject of baptism. First of all, four of these references do not refer to water baptism at all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2, Paul speaks of being baptized into Moses. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, he speaks about the Spirit baptizing us into the body of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29, there's two references to being baptized for the dead. Second of all, six of the references out of the 16 are in the context where Paul makes the bold statement that Christ did not send him to baptize but to preach the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. So that leaves us with six other references where Paul mentions the term baptism. And that is in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. He mentions the term three times, and there the references are primarily used as an analogy to salvation, of us being baptized into Christ's death, as well as being raised into newness of life. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, he speaks of being baptized into Christ, which again is most likely a reference to our spiritual identification with Christ. Then in Colossians 2 verse 12, he mentions both baptism and circumcision. And again, these terms are most likely meant to be understood of our spiritual relationship with the Lord. And then just thinking about Galatians and Colossians, the main message of both of those books is that man is saved by faith alone, apart from the works of the law, or by observing any ritual. And there in both of those books, he mentions circumcision not being necessary for the believer. And there Paul would add a great opportunity to say or to teach that circumcision of the Old Testament has now been replaced with the rite of baptism as that which brings about entrance into the new covenant, which he stays obviously clear away from and is actually teaches the opposite. And the last reference that Paul mentions of baptism is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, where he says there is one baptism. And that could be a reference to being baptized in the body of Christ, or a reference, most likely, of water baptism. So out of the 16 references, four do not refer to baptism at all. Six of them are in the context of where Paul said that he wasn't sent to baptize. And the other five out of the six are probably meant to be understood spiritually, of showing our relationship or identity with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And then one, Ephesians 4 verse 5, is most likely a reference to water baptism. Thus we can see that Paul does not emphasize water baptism at all. And actually, 1 Corinthians 1 verses 13 through 17 make it crystal clear that baptism is not necessary for salvation. Let's look at these verses. And they read this way: Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I did not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. So Paul was the one that led these individuals to the Lord, but yet he said he didn't baptize many of them. This portion of scripture needs to be compared with 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, which says, For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Jesus Christ I have begotten you through the gospel. And so here, Paul says, I'm the one that brought you to that place of salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet in chapter 1, he says, I didn't baptize many of you, making a clear distinction between baptism and that of being born again through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then when looking at the meaning of the gospel, Paul is very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, as to what the gospel is. Listen to his own words as to the meaning of the gospel, which does not include water baptism. says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And in verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, and which you stand." And then he communicates that gospel as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So here, as you put those three scriptures together, it's absolutely clear that there's a distinction between being born again, the gospel, and baptism. And then even analyzing 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13 through 17, listen to the direct statements that Paul says. And would these be statements that an individual would make if baptism was necessary for salvation? In verse 13, he says, "I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius." In verse 16, he says, "Besides, I did not know whether I baptized any other." Then in verse 17, which is crystal clear, he says, "Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." See, there's a clear difference between the gospel and baptism. The next place we need to turn to are the different sermons that are recorded for us in the book of Acts. And actually, there's five sermons in the book of Acts which lay out the essentials of the gospel. Three of them are by Peter and two of them by Paul. And the first one is found in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 22, where Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. And there, baptism was obviously mentioned, and baptism was a command which was to be heeded. And in Acts 2:38, Peter said, "Repent, and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And we've done studies last week on this passage alone, where the term "for" is the Greek term "eis," which can be translated or means because of or with reference to the forgiveness of sins. Not that someone is baptized and they receive forgiveness of sins. For example, one could say, "I'm going to take aspirin for a headache." You don't take the aspirin so that you could get the headache. You take the aspirin because of the headache. And then also, you can just simply look at Acts chapter 3, verse 19, which seems to be a parallel passage to Acts 2:38, where Peter says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." And there, the emphasis is on repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which brings about the blotting out of the sins. Or simply go to Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31, where Paul's response to the Philippian jailer, where he says, "What must I do to be saved?" He says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." The second sermon is found in Acts chapter 3, verse 12 and 16, where, once again, I'd focus on verse 19 and 20, which communicates how one is to be saved. He says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before." And then coupling that with Acts 4, verse 4, which communicates the response of those who heard the message, he says, "However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of them came to about 5,000. So here the emphasis is on believing, repentance, having faith in Jesus Christ. It's not mentioned about baptism. Now, why would Peter leave out the preaching about baptism, it was necessary for salvation? My contention is that if baptism was necessary for salvation, it would be mentioned in every message. It would be mentioned in every message of the book of Acts, as well as in every letter, every epistle, coupling that with the teaching on salvation. The next place we could turn to is Acts chapter 10 and verses 28 through 43, which describes Peter going to the household of Cornelius and preaching the message of the gospel to them. And verses 44 and 45 are crucial, where it says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God." And here, this is before they were baptized. They were saved and filled with the Spirit before baptism came, because verse 47 reads, "Can anyone forbid water that these should be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So here you can't make baptism as a qualification for salvation, because Romans 8 verse 9 says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you do not belong to the Lord. These individuals had the Holy Spirit. They were saved and converted before they were baptized. And then listen to Peter's own words in Acts chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, which is a commentary on the event described in Acts 10, which says, "Peter rose up and said to them, Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. So an individual receives that purification of heart, that cleansing of sin, by faith, not by water baptism. The fourth sermon is found in Acts chapter 13, verses 16 through 41, where Paul was preaching in Antioch. And Acts 13:39 is very clear, where Paul says, "And by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Then Acts 13:48 says, "And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed." So the emphasis there of those that were brought to salvation and those that received justification from all things are those who believe the message. Then the last sermon is found in Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 31, where Paul is preaching in Athens. In verses 30 and 31, it's clear that Paul emphasizes repentance and belief, where he says, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." Then verse 34 says, "However, some joined him and believed." So the emphasis is on repentance and belief. All through the book of Acts, the emphasis is not on water baptism, but is on repentance, faith, belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes in the book of Acts, water baptism is mentioned, and other times it is not. It's just not logical to believe that if baptism was necessary to the means of which salvation is brought about, it wouldn't be mentioned in every sermon. And Paul himself, in his letters, would have mentioned it over and over and over again, but his writings. But we see that actually Paul's emphasis in his epistles is that it's not by a rite that an individual enters a relationship with the Lord, but it's through faith and faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope these studies have helped you and have equipped you to be able to defend the faith, the message of the gospel of grace, as well as refute those who would hold the idea that baptism is necessary for salvation. If you'd like to be able to get the tapes and the resources that we have available, you could call the number that will be mentioned at the end of the program, or you could look us up on the web at www.calvarylm.org. And there we have a list of all the tapes that we've done on Solid Ground, as well as we've made the notes available from these studies. Or if you'd like to take correspondence courses through our Bible school, you could contact us either way.